but she's ordinary. Unlike you. He reached out and held my face with both hands. You're extraordinary. He was completely serious, and the way he looked at me, the doubts that had again risen up inside of me were put to rest. Chloe literally skipped into Serendipity 3 15 minutes later. She hadn't changed out of her dance outfit, and it was impossible not to smile watching her. After a brief pause where Genevieve pointed to our table, she skipped the rest of the way to where we were seated. Graham stood. Chloe? He nodded and smiled.
Cracker?
She put all her weight behind her, reached back, and slapped her hand into the air for Graham to high-five. He was caught off guard, almost missing the hand connection. The exchange was comical. High-fiving was so... not Grahamly. When he sat back down, I leaned in. Cracker? He whispered back.
As in Graham. Apparently, I have a nickname.
What's your name?
Chloe climbed up on her chair and kneeled. She was sitting directly across from me.
My name is Soraya. It's nice to meet you, Chloe. Soraya?
That's right. First try.
I love your hair. Mom, I want to do that to my hair.
Genevieve picked up the menu.
I don't think so. Are you Graham's wife?
No.
Are you his...
Genevieve again interrupted her curious daughter.
Soraya is Graham's friend, sweetheart. Now, why don't you sit down on the chair properly?
She shrugged.
But I like sitting on my knees. I can reach things better.
Sit. If you need something and you can't reach it, I'll get it for you. Chloe pouted, but planted her butt in the seat properly.
Do you remember the time we came here after we landed the Donovan account?
Genevieve asked Graham.
No.
His response was quick. It was clear he remembered, but was trying to move her from the subject. Lowering her eyes to the menu, Genevieve smiled broadly.
That's too bad. But I'm sure you remember later that evening. Cracker, what are you going to get?
I don't know yet, Chloe. What are you going to get?
She scrunched up her entire face and held her pointer finger to her nose in deep thought.
The iced hot chocolate?
I take it you've been here before.
I used to come every week after dance with my dad.
Chloe's face faltered. She directed her next question to me.
Did you know my dad too, Soraya?
Graham rested his hand on my knee under the table and responded for me.
She didn't get to meet your dad, Chloe.
You know what my dad would get every week?
What's that?
She wrinkled up her nose like something smelled.
Coffee!
Graham set down his menu. He hadn't even taken a look at it.
I'll have what you're having, Chloe.
She smiled so big I could almost count all her little white teeth. When the waiter came to take our order, I ordered a frozen hot chocolate, too. Genevieve ordered just coffee. He left Chloe a tin can filled with crayons and a paper kids menu for coloring. She immediately set to work.
What's your favorite color, Cracker?
Blue.
Graham's eyes narrowed to the tips of my hair.
Yours?
Green. I wanted to paint my room green, but Mommy said it wasn't beckoning of a little girl's room.
Genevieve chimed in. Becoming. I said it wasn't becoming of a little girl's room. Chloe shrugged and went back to coloring.
So, Soraya, what do you do?
Genevieve asked.
I work for a columnist. Ask Ida. The relationship column.
That's the one. She fake smiled.
I'll have to remember that. The next time I'm looking for advice.
I nodded.
How did you two meet?
Graham wrote into the column for relationship advice a few years back.
He did.
Genevieve's eyes went wide. Although I thoroughly enjoyed her reaction, I figured it was best not to screw with her too much. I'm just messing with you. We met on the train.
Well, sort of. Graham left his phone behind and I found it.
Graham was taking the train?
He did that day. Graham squeezed my knee.
Mommy doesn't take the train. Daddy and I used to take it together.
Chloe announced factually. Speaking of Liam didn't seem to upset her as I thought it would. She continued coloring, and then her pointer finger returned to her nose. It was clear that it was her thinking position, and it was freaking adorable.
Will you come to my birthday party?
I caught Graham's face wilt. He hadn't known when his daughter's birthday was. There was so much he needed to catch up on. I responded.
When is your birthday?
May 29th.
What kind of a party are you having?
A princess party. Will you come?
My eyes flashed to Genevieve for assistance.
Her party is at our summer home in the Hamptons.
Chloe interjected.
It's big. You can stay with us.
I was actually going to ask Graham if he wanted to join us, Chloe.
She made it clear the invitation was not a plus one. Graham didn't seem to give a shit.
Soraya and I would very much like to attend your birthday party, Chloe. We'll see if we can make that happen. Thank you for the invitation.
When it was time to go, I saw in Graham's eyes he wasn't ready to leave his daughter yet. His daughter. It still didn't seem real. Out in front of the restaurant, Chloe gave me a quick squeeze goodbye and then turned to Graham. He crouched down at eye level on the street and spoke to her.
Is there something special you want for your birthday, sweetheart?
Her finger went to the tip of her nose while she looked up to the sky. When she looked Graham square in the eyes and delivered her answer, she couldn't have known the irony of fate.
I want my dad back.
Chapter 22. Graham. In a matter of weeks, I went from Genevieve being a distant memory to her calling on a regular basis and showing up at my office unannounced. I took off my glasses and scrubbed my hands over my face before pushing the intercom button. Send her in. Genevieve strutted into my office and planted herself on the other side of my desk in a guest chair. We need to talk. Is Chloe all right? She's fine. Then what are you doing here, Genevieve? I just said we need to talk. I slipped my glasses back on my face and dug back into the pile of papers on my desk, not looking up when I spoke. I'm busy. Make an appointment on your way out. She sighed loudly but didn't budge. Chloe's birthday party is a family event. And? You should be there. I told you the other night when we spoke that we would attend. She's not family. Not yet, no. Genevieve looked startled. You can't be serious. Saying something like that? How long have you known each other? You have a daughter to consider now. As a father figure, you shouldn't be introducing our daughter to someone who you barely even know. Chloe could get attached. I'm well aware of that. You barely even know each other? What's it been? A month? 2 months? I know her better than I ever knew you. We spent nearly 3 years together, and yet I never knew the woman you were, the things you were capable of. That's not fair. On the contrary, I think I've been exceedingly fair with you, more so than you even deserve. You slept with my best friend, deprived me of my daughter for more than 4 years, and now you show up at my office unannounced to insult someone who I care deeply about? She's not right for you. Let me guess. You are. Well, yes. We're on the same level, Graham. I don't think so. I would never have fucked Avery. She flinched but recovered quickly, straightening her back as she spoke. She has a tongue ring. I saw it the other day. Yes, and it feels incredible on my cock. Her eyes narrowed. It won't last. Get out, Genevieve. I have work to do. I'm just trying to protect my daughter, our daughter. That's what I said. Out. I pointed to the door. Fine, she stood. But don't say I didn't warn you. She huffed off. That night I took Soraya out to dinner. Now that I'd squared away with Genevieve that Soraya would be with me for Chloe's party this weekend, the only thing left was convincing Soraya to go with me. She'd already voiced doubts about going. I didn't broach the subject during our meal, thinking it was better to ply her with good food and wine and make my move later in the evening. The last hour I'd spent bringing her to orgasm first with my mouth and then a second time as we made love, me spooning her from behind. When she let out a relaxed and comforted sigh, I decided it was time. Still behind her, I kissed a bare shoulder and molded my body around hers. It would mean a lot to me if you came with me this weekend. I don't know, Graham. I nuzzled closer. I need you there with me. You need time with your daughter, and we both know Genevieve doesn't like me. It's important to me. I know you have your doubts. I want you to see that we can still work even though things have changed. Graham, please? I asked softly. Fine. She sounded defeated, but I didn't care. I was selfish enough to take it any way I could get it. Thank you. I'll make it worth your while the following weekend. I promise. It was something I'd been thinking about doing for a while anyway. With all of the changes happening lately, there was no better time than the present to bite the bullet. When Lewis dropped me off at Tig's Tattoo Parlor on 8th Avenue, I was feeling pumped. Bells chimed when I opened the door. As usual, it smelled like cinnamon incense and tobacco. Bob Marley was playing. Being here somehow oddly reminded me of my college days. Tig put out his cigarette and greeted me. Mr. Big Prick! When I saw your name on the appointment list, I nearly shit a brick. What the fuck? Has she finally driven you to lose your mind? You didn't tell Soraya I was coming, did you? No, Delia said. When you called to make the appointment, you made it clear you wanted it to be a surprise, so we won't ruin it. Right, Tig? Tig led me over to the corner seat. You have an idea what you're getting? Yes, I know exactly what I want. I actually attempted to sketch it for you. Taking a piece of paper out of my pocket, I said, My drawing skills aren't as good as yours, but it gives you an idea of what I have in mind. Tig lit a cigarette and squinted to examine my attempt at tattoo design. I recognize this. He chuckled. All right. I think we can do even better. Why don't you lie down? I looked up at him as he prepped the needle. Has she said anything to you about what's going on with us? He blew smoke. You mean about your baby mama drama? Okay. You obviously know I recently found out I have a daughter. If she did talk to me about it, I wouldn't fucking tell you anything, dude. Fair enough. Damn. I wasn't going to get jack shit out of him. The sting of the needle burned into my chest as he started the design. A few years ago, I would have never imagined getting a second tattoo in my lifetime. But somehow it felt natural to be doing this. It seemed like more than just marking my body. It was art, which in turn was an expression of love. Soraya had a way of getting me to see a lot of things differently now. After several minutes of watching him work in silence, I blurted out, I love her, Tig. He stopped the needle and held out his hands. Whoa, whoa, why are you telling me this? Because you're her friend? She doesn't have many close ones? Have you even said those three words to her? No. I haven't had the right opportunity, but I will. I also get the impression that you still don't trust me, and I think it's important that you understand that despite recent developments, I'm in this for the long haul. Look, I'm not going to bullshit you. I don't personally trust you. But Soraya seems too deep into this for me not, at least, to take you seriously. If she cares about you, then I'm going to have to accept it and trust her judgment. Okay, well, I appreciate your honesty. Just remember what I said. Don't break her heart, and I won't have to break your pretty face. I swallowed my anger for Soraya's sake. I heard you loud and clear the first time you threatened my life, Tig. If this guy was anyone but Soraya's best friend, I wouldn't have taken his shit. But I didn't need him bad-mouthing me. When Tig finished the tattoo, he applied clear tape over it. I couldn't wait to show Soraya. Delia came around the corner. Since you're getting adventurous, MBP, I'd be happy to pierce something for you while you're here. MBP? Mr. Big Prick? Oh, of course. I rolled my eyes and threw a wad of cash that was triple the amount I owed on the counter. She took the money and placed it in the register. So, cock ring? What do you say? A protective shiver ran down through my dick from shaft to tip. Ouch. Baby steps, Delia. All right. She shrugged her shoulders. Can't say I didn't try. The next night, I could barely contain my excitement as I headed to Soraya's for a surprise visit after work. The bandage would be coming off, and I could finally show her my tattoo. With Chloe's birthday party this weekend, revealing it to her tonight would be good timing. It would remind her how important she was to me. I had worked late and made the decision to drop by unannounced with some of her favorite Mexican takeout. Soraya buzzed me in no problem. But when she opened the door, her mood seemed off. Graham, I wasn't expecting you. Come in. Pulling her toward me, I slid my hand down her back and gripped her ass. Are you not happy to see me? No, it's not that. I placed the paper bag of food on her kitchen table. I have a surprise for you. I couldn't wait to come here tonight to show you. What is it? Taking off my jacket, I said, Let's eat first. I brought your favorite enchiladas from No Way Jose's. Soraya was quiet all throughout dinner. Something was definitely off. I wondered if she was just nervous about going to the Hamptons this weekend. I took her plate. Want to talk about what's bothering you? Dodging my question, she said, Not really. Tell me what the surprise is first. It felt odd presenting the tattoo to her when she was in such a morose mood. It wasn't exactly how I'd pictured this moment, but I wasn't going to be able to hide it much longer since I had every intention of fucking her out of that bad mood later. She was going to see my chest one way or the other. Okay, this is something I've wanted to do for a long time. I finally bit the bullet and had it done. I hope you like it. Soraya bit her lip in anticipation as I slowly unbuttoned my shirt. My heart was pounding. What if she thought it was creepy? Shit. It was too fucking late. She watched as I tore the tape off. It's still a little red, I said, oddly nervous. She covered her mouth. Oh my God. Graham, it's... Do you like it? Her eyes glistened. It's amazing. She looked down at her foot. It's exactly the same as mine. Of course. Tig did it to match. She traced the area around my tat as she examined the tattoo placed strategically over my heart. It was Soraya's name written out in script. Underneath the letters was a smaller version of the same feather design she had on her foot. I thought the feather was the perfect accent to your name. Our story might have been different if I hadn't been able to use it to identify you back when we first met. I'm very thankful for that feather. She was still silently looking at it in awe when I said, You know, it's no coincidence that the other tattoo I had was nowhere near my heart. You're the only woman who's ever fully owned it. Tell her you love her. Why is it so damn hard to just let it out? Because you're afraid she won't return it. Her hand was still tracing the tat. I covered her fingers with mine to stop the motion and to get her attention. Soraya, I love... Graham, I'm late.
Late? What?
I'm late.
You're late. What do you mean? Late for what?
My period. I'm late. I'm scared.
I blinked several times. You think you might be pregnant?
I'm on the pill. It's unlikely, but I'm never late. So I'm worried. I just looked at the calendar and realized it today.
Well, now her bizarre mood made total sense. Could there be other reasons to explain it?
I read that stress can cause a delay sometimes. So I'm hoping that's what it is. This is the last thing you need right now.
You're worried about me?
Yes, of course I am. You're just coming to grips with having one child. This would be too much.
She buried her face in her hands.
Too fucking much.
I moved her hands down from her face and pulled her into me. Soraya, I agree the timing wouldn't be ideal, but make no mistake about it. The idea of you carrying my baby brings me nothing but happiness. I don't think you're ready. No. But if it happened, I would look at it as a blessing. She looked up at me.
Really?
Yes. Really. I cupped her cheeks, smiled, and repeated. Really. Thank you for saying that because I've been so scared to even mention it. Don't be scared. You never have to go through anything alone again. I needed to know. Can we take a test? I asked. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't want to take it too early anyway, might get a false result. I'll wait until after this weekend, once we have the party behind us. Then we'll do it. Whatever you want. I knew from the look on her face that she was praying she wasn't carrying my baby. Was I crazy for wishing the opposite?
Chapter 23. Saraya. The 2-hour drive out to East Hampton on Saturday morning was surprisingly smooth, with little to no traffic. Considering it was Memorial Day weekend, we'd been expecting worse. It was still early in the season, with cooler weather, so maybe the majority of New Yorkers hadn't yet begun their weekend retreats out of the city. Graham had given Lewis the weekend off, preferring to drive his Beamer to the Hamptons. He had the windows down, so my hair was blowing around wildly in the wind. We were both donning sunglasses. Life was good. I had vowed not to let my late period or the impending encounter with Genevieve today ruin this weekend getaway. Graham had booked us a room at a bed and breakfast for tonight close to Genevieve's property. We'd be heading straight to the party, though, since he didn't want to be late. The back seat was filled with gifts wrapped in pastel paper. Apparently, Graham felt he needed to make up for all of Chloe's birthdays that he'd missed. He'd ordered his secretary to practically clean out the girls' section at Toys R Us. During the ride, Graham was being particularly attentive to my needs, asking me if I was okay, if I needed water, if I was cold. I knew the slim possibility that I could be pregnant was constantly on his mind. It was constantly on mine, too. It hadn't really surprised me that he took the news that my period was late so well. Graham would be a wonderful father. He was already proving that. He was in a place in his life where he was ready for it. I, on the other hand, still wasn't even sure I wanted kids. So the prospect of a pregnancy, especially given the current situation with Chloe, was terrifying. We were definitely on different pages as far as that was concerned. At one point during the ride, Graham turned to me.
Have you ever been to the Hamptons?
Never. Rockaway and Coney Island have been it for me. I've always wanted to go out there, though, just never had the chance, nor the money to book a place.
I think you'll love it. There are a lot of little galleries and shops. We'll have to do some exploring tomorrow.
I'm just happy to be getting out of the city. It doesn't matter what we do.
Well, I'd like to take you on a real vacation soon. We should calm down in the next couple of months. Think about where you'd want to go. St. Bart, Hawaii, Europe. There are so many choices. I'll just charter a jet.
Okay, Mr. Fancy Pants. But you can choose, because I haven't been anywhere. It doesn't matter anyway. I just want to be with you. He squeezed my hand.
You're the first person who said those words that I actually believe.
It was easy to forget how wealthy Graham was sometimes, because he'd become so relaxed around me. He insisted he preferred things like eating on the floor out of cartons over going to high-end restaurants most nights. I often wondered if that was truly his preference, or if he was just doing it to appease me or make himself appear more down-to-earth than he really was. I truly didn't need a private jet or an expensive vacation. In fact, I preferred the simple things. As we pulled off the highway, my stomach started to feel unsettled. Being in the car was a nice little oasis that would soon be rudely interrupted. 20 minutes after driving through windy side roads, we pulled up to Genevieve's waterfront Hamptons estate. The sprawling, wood-shingled home was partially hidden by plush green hedges. Beyond the black, wrought-iron gates, I could see just how massive the house was with its white moldings, arched windows, and farmer's porch that wrapped around it. If it could talk, it would have said, "You're officially out of your league, Brooklyn bitch." Cram left the presents in the car, deciding to retrieve them later. A woman in a gray housekeeping dress greeted us in front with mimosas. I took one and immediately put it back, forgetting that there was a small chance I could be pregnant. Damn, I really needed alcohol today. "Go straight through the house to the French doors leading to the yard," she said. Sensing my nerves, Graham protectively placed his hand on my back as we walked inside together. The foyer had practically vomited lavender hydrangeas. Genevieve was in the large white kitchen arranging even more of them when we passed through.
"Graham, you made it," she smiled.
Brushing off her hands, she walked around the granite island to greet us. She looked like she was about to hug him, but stopped herself, probably sensing his apprehension. Not to mention his grip hadn't left my torso. Her eyes stayed fixed on Graham.
"Chloe is outside playing with some of her friends. The adults are scattered about as well. You remember Brett Allendale? He's here with his wife Laura. So are Jim and Leslie Steinhouse."
Since she had chosen to ignore me, I cleared my throat and said, "You have a beautiful home."
"Thank you. Graham picked this property out, actually."
Confused, I looked to him for clarification, but he didn't offer it. Instead, he just tightened his grip on me. She continued,
"This was our summer place, before things changed."
Graham finally spoke. "The house was in both our names at one point, until I gladly sold my share to Liam." He looked toward the doors leading to the patio. "We should go find Chloe." Graham led me outside without making further conversation with Genevieve. A closed, in-ground pool sat in the middle of the large backyard. To the left was a bright green tennis court. To the right was a large grassy area where at least a dozen little girls in flowy dresses were running around. A large, inflatable bounce house in the shape of a princess castle was set up along with a pink cotton candy station. There was also a makeshift outdoor beauty salon where the girls could get their hair done up like princesses. Genevieve had definitely gone all out. Graham was looking toward the kids, trying to spot Chloe.
"So, this was your house, Graham?"
"Yes, only for a short time. I put it in both our names after we'd gotten engaged. Then, when I found out about what was going on, I didn't want anything to do with it. Genevieve's imprint is all over everything. It was easier for me to just sell it to Liam and be done with it."
"But you picked this house. It must have been hard to give it up."
"Yes. I loved how close it is to the water. The architecture also has a lot of charm."
"It certainly does. You have good taste."
He leaned in and nuzzled my ear.
"I would say so."
I had to admit, knowing that this had been his and Genevieve's love nest at one time made me even more uncomfortable about being here.
I looked around at how conservatively everyone was dressed. In his fitted white polo shirt, Graham blended in just fine. As always, I stuck out with my strapless royal blue dress and matching blue hair tips. I'd been itching to change the color, but vowed to keep it blue so that Graham didn't think I was going off the rails.
When Chloe spotted Graham, she made a beeline toward him.
"Graham Cracker!"
He knelt down with his arms open wide as she ran toward him, then pretended to fall back when she threw herself into his arms.
Happy birthday, sweetheart.
When she pulled away, she looked up at me.
Hi, Soraya.
Hi, Chloe. I bent down. Can I have a hug, too? We embraced, and she kissed me lightly on the cheek. Her mouth was sticky from the cotton candy. She wrapped her little arms around Graham's neck again.
Will you come chase us?
Of course. You're the birthday girl. Whatever you want. Why don't you go back to your friends for a minute? I'll be right over, all right?
Chloe nodded enthusiastically and ran over to rejoin the other girls. He stood up.
Are you okay if I leave you alone with the wolves for a bit?
Of course. We're here for Chloe. I can deal with the rest of them. He whispered in my ear, causing a shiver to run down my neck.
I'll make it up to you later in a big way. I promise.
Graham ran over to Chloe, and I watched amused as he took direction from her. Completely at her disposal, he ran in circles chasing the girls around. He towered over them. He was playing the role of some kind of monster. I chuckled as he dropped to the ground and let them clobber him. It was like he'd been attacked by an explosion of pink chiffon. I couldn't help thinking that maybe the possibility of being pregnant with this man's child wasn't the worst thing in the world. The more I watched him out there, the more I realized I wanted to share a life with him. But it would never be uncomplicated. Genevieve would always be a part of it. A conversation happening diagonally behind me turned my attention away from Graham and the girls for a moment.
That's Graham Morgan out there. Yes, you know the story, right?
That Graham is really Chloe's biological father?
Worst kept secret in the world, if you ask me.
Apparently, everyone knew but him.
Crazy. Imagine, one woman and two good-looking guys like that.
Sounds like one of your books, Elise.
I know, totally. I guess Morgan went off the deep end for a while after Genevieve left him for Liam. Cut ties with a lot of people. He was really in love with her.
Apparently, after he found out about the affair, he was so heartbroken, he came down here and shattered half the windows in this house.
Are you kidding?
No.
Wow. I'd have an affair just to see Stanley get half that passionate about me.
Jen's paid for her mistakes, poor thing.
Widowed at such a young age.
We all acted foolishly when we were young.
She didn't deserve this predicament.
Well, it's nice to see him here for the little girl. I wonder if they'll reunite for the sake of their daughter.
They make beautiful children together. That would be a happy ending to a tragic story, wouldn't it?
The only happy ending he'll be getting is from me, bitch. A few minutes later, I'd been so preoccupied thinking about what those women were saying that I hadn't noticed Graham sneak up behind me to plant a kiss on my neck. The gossipers had taken notice, though. Their eyes were practically bugging out of their heads. Their little happily-ever-after fantasy was quickly challenged by Graham's public display of affection with someone they probably assumed was working the party. I couldn't help myself when I turned to them and smiled.
Plot twist?
Graham looked confused, but he didn't question me about it. He examined my face.
How are you holding up?
I put on my best happy smile.
Good.
Chloe wants to open her presents, so I'm gonna head out to the car to get them.
I'll help you.
Graham and I made three separate trips back and forth to retrieve all of the gifts. When we returned, Genevieve was placing a massive cake that was shaped like a ruffly dress down on the table. All of the little girls swarmed around it like flies. Genevieve had hired a professional photographer. When it was time for Chloe to blow out her candles, she waved for Graham to come around and get in the picture. The photographer had Genevieve and Graham pose for several pictures with Chloe. The sight made my stomach churn, because my mind kept replaying what those women were saying. It wasn't that I didn't want Graham to be in the picture next to his daughter, but seeing him so close to Genevieve was unnerving. The photographer probably assumed they were married. Seeing the three of them together made me wonder what would be happening right now if I weren't in the picture. The scene was like a glimpse into the crystal ball of what could have been. Would Graham consider taking her back if it weren't for me? He told me he wouldn't, but it might be different if I didn't exist in his life. I could be the very thing that is keeping that little girl from having her parents together. My own childhood came to mind. Was I Chloe's Teresa? My thoughts turned to Graham, who was walking toward me with two ceramic plates of cake. Apparently, this children's party was too high-end for paper goods.
It's chocolate. He winked. Your favorite.
I didn't have the heart to tell him why I'd lost my appetite. Even chocolate wouldn't be able to heal the anxiety that came from the realization that I was a potential homewrecker. So, I forced the cake down as we stood together and watched as Chloe started opening her gifts. 1 hour and piles upon piles of wrapping paper later, I really needed to use the bathroom. I'd been downing nothing but water and decaf coffee since alcohol was out of the question. Graham was assembling some of Chloe's toys and hadn't noticed me slip away. The upstairs bathroom window afforded me the perfect view of where Graham was standing down below, showing Chloe how to ride a pogo stick. Feeling so conflicted, my heart clenched as I looked at Chloe's sweet face, which was essentially a reflection of Graham's face. Was I keeping this girl from the perfect fairy tale of living under the same roof with both parents? Then, I looked over at him. The man who I loved, who probably wasn't even sure that I loved him. I wanted him for myself. And that made me feel guilty. I was pretty sure if I did want kids, he was the only man I wanted as the father. I pried my eyes away from the window and sat down on the toilet. Looking down at my underwear, I spotted it immediately. Bright red. Had gotten my period. My stomach sank. I'd expected to feel relieved, but it was the opposite. Utter disappointment. It revealed a truth that I wasn't even fully aware of until that moment. A part of me had wanted a baby with him, even if I wasn't quite ready. Because I loved him. Instead of relief, the blood symbolized a loss of something I didn't even realize I wanted until now. Thankfully, my dress was a dark color, and I'd thrown a pair of spare panties and a tampon in my purse just in case this very thing happened. I left the bathroom with a little less hope than I'd walked in with, knowing that I'd also have to break the news to Graham tonight. As I walked down the hall, I stopped at Liam and Genevieve's wedding picture. I looked into Liam's eyes in the photo and whispered to him under my breath, "Boy, you sure left a mess behind. I hope you're in a better place." If I thought I was having a bad day before, it became abundantly clear that the worst was yet to come when I saw who was waiting for me at the bottom of the stairs. "Genevieve?" "A word, please. Will you, Soraya?" Without giving me a chance to respond, she motioned for me to follow her and began to walk toward a set of French doors. Feeling emotional from what had just transpired up in the bathroom, she was the last person I wanted to speak to at the moment. Yet I followed along like a puppy. She closed the doors behind us. "Have a seat." She gestured to a brown leather couch. Unlike the rest of the house that was bright and airy, this room was dark and masculine. Built-in bookcases lined the walls, and a massive cherry wood desk was positioned on one side of the room. Genevieve walked behind the desk and opened a cabinet. She pulled out an ornate crystal liquor bottle and two glasses, pouring amber liquid into both before offering one to me. "No, thank you." "Take it. You may need it." Her tight smile was laced with more spite than sweet. Screw it. No reason to abstain anymore. I took the glass and sucked half of it back in one gulp. It burned a path from my throat to my stomach. I thought it was time the two of us had a little woman-to-woman talk. And since you've cornered me into a room, I assume whatever it is you want to talk about isn't something you want Graham to hear. That's right. Some things are just better off between women. Well, go ahead, Genevieve. I settled back into the couch. Get whatever bitchy thing you want off of your chest so we can all move on. All right. I won't beat around the bush then. She sipped her drink. I want you to stop fucking my daughter's father.
Excuse me?
What part didn't you understand?
You have no right to tell me what to do.
That's where you're wrong. Your actions have a direct impact on my daughter. She deserves a family.
Graham's being involved with me has nothing to do with Chloe.
Of course it does. You're being selfish.
I'm being selfish?
You slept with Graham's best friend, then didn't tell Graham he was Chloe's father for 4 years so your husband wouldn't leave you, and I'm the selfish one? We're not talking about me.
Like hell we're not. You only want Graham away from me so you can attempt to dig your claws back into him. This has nothing to do with the welfare of your daughter.
She let out an exaggerated sigh. You wouldn't understand, Soraya. You aren't a mother. I felt it, in that moment. A gurgling of emotions beginning to bubble their way up from within. The bathroom, and now her not-too-subtle reminder. No, I'm not a mother. This is a chance for Chloe to have her family. Graham and I have a lot in common. We share a common business, travel in the same social circles, and have a child together.
He doesn't love you.
Genevieve laughed. You can't really be that naive, can you? Believing in some ideologic notion that love will conquer all?
No, but...
We're compatible, and I'm the mother of his child. If you were to disappear after a few weeks, I'd be back sucking him off under his desk, and he would forget you even existed.
I flinched.
Being in a highly emotional state, the visual of her under Graham's desk was as if I was struck with a physical blow. She smiled like a wolf that had just found a lame sheep, then went in for the kill. We fucked right there on that couch you're sitting on. This was, after all, his office. It's the only room I didn't redecorate after things ended. It reminded me of him.
She shrugged and finished the remnants of her glass. If you think that Graham would come back to you after what you did to him, you never really knew him very well.
Tell me, Soraya... Who is the woman in Graham's life he values more than anyone?
His grandmother.
And he still mourns the loss of his mother after more than 10 years. Can you honestly tell me that family doesn't mean everything to that man?
She stood.
He'll get over you. He won't get over not waking up in the same house as his daughter every day.
Chapter 24. Graham. Are you feeling okay? I'd gotten stuck talking shop with Brett Allendale for 3/4 of an hour. Finding Soraya in the yard looking out at the sunset over the water, I wrapped my hands around her waist and stood behind her. I'm good. Without thinking, my fingers stroked her flat stomach. There were people milling around the yard, so I lowered my voices. The thought that my child could possibly be growing inside of you, inside this beautiful body, is absolutely incredible. Graham, I know, you don't think you're ready, but I think you will be an amazing mother. How pissed would you be if I admitted a part of me hopes you are pregnant? That way you'll have no choice but to put up with me. I pulled her hair to the side and kissed her neck. Can I ask you something? Anything. If I were pregnant, you'd want to raise the child together.
Of course. Why would you even ask that?
I don't know. I'm just tired and emotional, I guess. It's been a long day.
Well, then let's get you out of here soon. You should probably be off of your feet anyway. After the sun fully set, I decided it was time to make our exit. I'd caught Chloe yawning twice, and it didn't look like she was going to make it much longer either. She was sitting at a kitty-sized table with another little girl molding something out of hot pink Play-Doh. I pulled a tiny chair out for Soraya with a wink, and we both sat.
What are you building?
A snowman.
A pink snowman?
She stopped kneading the clay and looked at me like I had just said something ridiculous.
It's a girl snowman.
Did you enjoy your party, Chloe?
Soraya asked.
I did, but it's not over. My birthday lasts for the entire weekend.
Soraya chuckled.
It does it?
Chloe nodded fast.
Tomorrow morning when we wake up, we're going to have chocolate chip pancakes and strawberry milk.
I'm sorry we're going to miss that. That sounds delicious, I said.
Why would you miss it? Do you sleep late?
Actually, I don't. But we're not staying here tonight, sweetheart.
You don't want to have breakfast with me?
Of course I do.
Who's going to put together the rest of my toys in the morning? Mommy said you would put together my car and my dream house.
She did she?
Please.
I looked at Soraya, unsure of how to say no to my daughter. I had limited encounters with children, and the thought of disappointing her when I'd only just met her was not something I was ready to do. Soraya covered my hand with hers and squeezed.
How about this, Chloe? Graham and I come back early tomorrow and have breakfast? Then we can put together your presents. Really?
Soraya gave a reassuring nod before I turned back to Chloe with a smile. Really, sweetheart? We did a quick round of goodbyes, and then Genevieve walked us to the door. Chloe is very excited you're coming back in the morning. It's too bad you won't be staying overnight. There's plenty of room. She seemed to turn her attention to Soraya. I know she would love waking up to having her father under the same roof, even though she might not know who you are to her yet. What time is breakfast?
Avery is driving out from the city in the morning to join us. She'll be here by 9. So why don't we say 9:30?
That's fine. We'll see you in the morning.
I'm looking forward to it, Graham.
Genevieve put her hand on my arm and lowered her voice.
Chloe is lucky to have you. I know I made some big mistakes, but I hope for her sake we can move past them. I'd really like for Chloe to know her father. Have a real family.
Soraya was unusually quiet during the short ride to Harbor House Bed and Breakfast, even after checking in. Once we climbed into bed, I pulled her close and tried to coax her into talking about what was going on inside that beautiful head of hers. Talk to me. You're not yourself tonight. Her head rested on my chest right over my heart, and I stroked her silky hair in the dark. The list of shit that could be bothering her was endless these days. We were spending the weekend visiting a home that I used to own and a daughter who I just met, while my possibly pregnant girlfriend was slighted at every opportunity by my ex. Why was I even fucking asking what was wrong? It would be simpler to ask what was right. Although that answer was easy for me. She was right. Even with all the chaos swarming around, I didn't remember a time in my life when anything felt so right to me. We were right.
I'm just tired.
So it has nothing to do with spending time with my fucking bitch of an ex or having newly discovered I have a 4-year-old daughter or the possibility you could be pregnant? Am I missing anything? She chuckled quietly and then sighed.
You're missing breakfast with Avery? That ought to be a blast.
Ah, yes. Nothing like a double bitch fest for breakfast. Soraya went quiet again after that. I hated to go to sleep without the air clear, but it had been a long day and she needed her rest. After about 10 minutes, her breathing became slow and steady, and I knew she had fallen asleep. Staring into the dark while I held her tight in my arms, I realized we didn't really need to rehash the day. Sometimes the words that are left unspoken are the ones that most needed to be said.
I love you, Soraya,
I whispered to my sleeping beauty.
I fucking love you.
What time is it?
She stretched her arms over her head, and the sheet that was covering her body slipped down, revealing her nipples protruding through her white-ribbed tank top. I had been quietly sitting at the desk on the other side of the room working since 5, but stalked to the bed, unable to resist putting my lips on some of that exposed skin. I lowered the sheet more and pushed up her tank top, dropping a line of kisses on her stomach. "It's almost 8:30. You were really out." Venturing higher, I licked the underswell of one of her breasts. "Mmm." The sound she made shot straight to my dick. "What time is breakfast again?" "I'm about to have my morning meal right now." Lifting her tank fully over her breasts, I sucked in a nipple. Hard. Her fingers threaded through my hair. "Graham." "Hmm." I moved to the other nipple and swirled my tongue, looking up at her. "What can I do for you, gorgeous? Would you prefer I eat you, or we play hide-and-seek with my cock?" Her eyes fluttered closed as I bit down on her nipple. When a throaty moan fell from her lips, I thought I might have a teenage boy moment. "Get a hold of yourself, Graham." Crawling further up her body, I spoke with my lips against her mouth. "What's it going to be?" "Part of me needs to be inside of you now, Soraya. Decide if it's my tongue or my dick." I kissed my way from her mouth to her ear and back again, before concluding if she wasn't going to respond, I would just start below the waist and work my way up until I was done. Making my decision, I pulled my head back to tell her, and what I found was a kick in the gut. Tears were rolling down her face. "Soraya, what the..." "I got my period." "Oh, sweetheart." Closing my eyes, I leaned my forehead against hers. "It's okay, I really didn't want to be pregnant anyway." She wiped her cheeks. "I just got caught up in the moment of it all. Seeing you with your daughter, realizing what a good father you were going to be. I guess I just wanted to be a part of that." "There's nothing I would like more. It may not be today or tomorrow, but we're going to have that someday." "How can you be so sure?" "When it comes to you, I have no doubts." "God, Graham, why does it hurt so much? I feel like I've lost something even though I never had it to lose." She cried for a long time when I held her. Once the floodgates opened, everything came pouring out. The ache in my chest, seeing her distraught, was almost more than I could bear. I had to choke back my own tears more than once. When she finally calmed, I wanted so much to tell her I loved her, but I was afraid she would think I only said it because she was upset. "Why don't you stay here, and I'll swing by to have breakfast with Chloe and then come back. The last thing you need is Genevieve right now."
"But I want to say goodbye to Chloe."
"Well, then how about this? It's only a few miles to the house. I'll take a cab over this morning and have breakfast, so you can spend a few hours in bed. Then, when you're feeling up to it, you can come by and get me and say goodbye to Chloe." She nodded.
"I'd like that. I don't think I can handle Avery and Genevieve for too long."
"Then that's what we'll do." I tilted her chin to force her eyes back to mine. "We're going to get through all of this. I promise." "Okay." I had no idea at the time, but some promises just couldn't be kept.
Chapter 25. Soraya.
The hotel room was too quiet after Graham left. Alone with my thoughts, I picked up the phone and put it down at least a dozen times. Who would I even call? There was no one I could really count on for an unbiased opinion. My situation was too close to home for my mom or my sister. And there was always Delia, but she'd been with Tig since she was 14 and truly believed in fairy tale endings. Her reality didn't involve a small child, a cunning ex, or growing up with a father who forgot her and a mother who was too sad to leave the house for years. Faced with slim pickings for genuine guidance on my situation, I did something I never thought I would do. I fired up my laptop. "Dear Ida, I've been dating a man for almost 2 months who I've fallen deeply in love with. A few weeks ago, he found out he has a child with his ex-girlfriend. It's a sordid tale, but Essentially, she cheated on him, lied about who the father was, and kept him from knowing his child for years. Of course, his ex is beautiful, smart, and they share a passion for the business they both work in. In most areas, the two of them are way more compatible than we are together. To make matters worse, she's made it clear to me that she wants him back. The problem is, he really cares about me. And I also don't want to hurt him. I really need an unbiased opinion here. Should I bow out gracefully and let him have an opportunity to rekindle his relationship with his ex so that they can be a real family? I love him enough to make that sacrifice. Teresa, Brooklyn. Writing the letter had an unexpected cathartic effect on me. I wasn't expecting Ida to give me any pearls of wisdom. More often than not, her advice was utter crap. But the act of writing the letter seemed to help me put all of my feelings into perspective. It also helped me realize, until the day came where I made a decision to actually bow out, Genevieve wasn't going to screw with my head anymore. The drive over to the bitch's compound, I blasted the music and sang along at the top of my lungs. In the moment, I completely understood why athletes always seem to have headphones on before an event. They needed to be pumped up to avoid allowing their doubts and fears taking over. Pulling into the long driveway, I parked and stared at the stately home. It was beautiful out in the Hamptons, but my ass definitely belonged in Brooklyn. Exiting Graham's car, the front door opened and a woman walked out. She took one look at me, and an evil smile slowly spread across her flawless face.
Samira, how lovely of you to come.
I plastered my best fake smile on to match hers.
Ainsley, so splendid to see you.
Avery looked amused. She lit a cigarette, which surprised the shit out of me.
What's it been? 7, 8 weeks? I'm shocked. Graham usually takes the trash out each Tuesday.
You know what they say, one person's trash is another man's treasure.
She sucked a long puff of smoke into her lungs, and then proceeded to blow out a half dozen Perfect O smoke rings. I hadn't seen anyone do that since my Uncle Guido quit smoking his filterless Lucky Strikes back in the 90s.
You know, smoking gives you cancer.
I leaned in and whispered,
"And wrinkles."
After two more puffs, she ditched the cigarette out in an oversized planter.
Eventually, he'll bore of you and come to his senses. A good blowjob or whatever service you provide that is keeping him slumming these days will eventually get old.
I'd ask your husband if that was true, but I'm guessing by the stick that's stuck so far up your ass that the poor man hasn't had good head in a lot of years.
Inside, the house was quiet except for the clickety-clack of Avery's heels.
Where is everyone?
She poured herself a cup of coffee.
Of course, she didn't offer one for the guest.
Looking at me over her mug with a sly grin, she said,
"You mean the happy family?"
"I mean Graham and Chloe."
"Mom and Dad and their beautiful offspring are down at the beach, taking their daughter for the inaugural swim of the season."
"That's nice."
"When Graham and Genevieve bought this house, they used to fuck like rabbits in the ocean. Come to think of it, their daughter may have even been conceived there."
This bitch was truly a piece of work. I forced out yet another, "That's nice," doing my best to pretend she wasn't getting to me. But the truth was, I couldn't help but get jealous at the thought of Graham and Genevieve. Obviously, they'd had a sexual relationship. I just didn't need to visualize what that looked like. I walked to the wall of sliding glass doors that led to the yard and further down the beach below. 100 yards off in the distance was Graham and Genevieve. They were both in the middle of undressing, and Chloe was jumping up and down excitedly between them. It was excruciatingly painful to see the man who I was in love with